Father in heaven, we're thankful for another opportunity to look into your word and just ask and pray that you would speak to us, that you would encourage us, Lord, that you would uplift us. Heavenly Father, that we may trust in you, knowing that you will provide no matter what the situation is in our circumstance, as long as we trust in you. This is our prayer, Lord. We ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Loved ones, for the meditation this afternoon, I want to kind of continue on. If you're here a couple of weeks ago, we started reading from the book of Daniel, and I want to go back to the book of Daniel, the second chapter. The second chapter, we talked, you know, the sermon that I had a couple of weeks ago was on Daniel being, Nebuchadnezzar picking what he wanted to hear. Being selective hearing was the name of the sermon. But in that story, there was actually the part that I said that we were going to talk about, and I want to go back and maybe review that a little bit, the actual dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. And what does that mean? What did it mean? What does it mean for us today? So if you can turn with me to the book of Daniel, we're going to reread that portion again, if you just have a little patience with me. Daniel chapter 2, and we're going to start from verse 24. We'll read it to the end. Therefore Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went in and said thus unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon, bring me in before the king, and I will show you the king the interpretation. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste and said thus unto him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and make known unto the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream, the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts come into thy mind upon thy bed, what should come to pass hereafter? And he that revealeth secrets make known unto thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, the secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for the sakes that shall make known unto the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightst know that the thoughts of thine heart. Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, good, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, and the breasts of his arms of silver, and his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet a part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out with hands, which smote the image upon the feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron and the clay, the brass and silver and gold broken into pieces together, and became like the chaff to the summer threshing floor, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them, and the stone that smote that image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And whosoever the children of men dwell, and wheresoever the children of men dwell, and the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven, hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. And after thee shall arise another kingdom, inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, forasmuch as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things. And as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruised. And whereas thou sawest the feet and the toes part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. And there shall be in it the strength of the iron, forasmuch as thou sawest the iron mixed with a miry clay. And as the toes that were of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. Whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to the other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel, commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. And the king answered and said unto Daniel, Of a truth it is that your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and the chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested of the king and set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon, but Daniel sat in the gate of the king. So a couple of weeks ago when we talked about Daniel, you know, we know that he was one of these wise men, one of the kids that were taken from Jerusalem after Babylon overtook them. As I was reading more, being that he was, some commentary said that, well, he may have been a eunuch because he was part of the wise men and he was under the tutelage of the priests of the eunuchs for 3 years till like, he can be proven to see what kind of a person, did he have the wisdom that King Nebuchadnezzar was looking for in these kids. And we know the story that as it goes, that Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And I'd like to talk a little bit about this dream. I didn't mention much more about it because I was more focused upon Nebuchadnezzar's attitude. And with this attitude as it kind of progressed, and we'll read, in the next couple of weeks, we'll go into the third chapter of the fiery furnace. But he has, you know, Daniel was given the wisdom to interpret this dream. And Daniel also, when he found out in verse 23, you know, he goes to God and he says, he gets together with his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they say, hey, we need to pray because the king's going to kill us. We need to ask God to reveal unto us the interpretation of this dream. And say, so they have this prayer meeting, and then that night God reveals unto Daniel the interpretation that's been penned down for him. And then Daniel comes back and he praises God for revealing the dream. And he says that he's a God that he changes, he removes, he knows, he gives, and he reveals. You've given and you have made known unto us. And he goes on and he tells him about this dream that he had. And it's interesting when he talked about this dream, we talked about it a few weeks back, that the king asked him, goes to his soothsayers and his magicians and say, tell me, what is this dream I had? I'm not going to tell you what it is, but you need to tell me what it is. So he kind of put them in a really awkward position. Really, are you a magician? Are you wise? Do you know? And he was putting him through the test. And as he was upset because they couldn't reveal that to him one by one, he took him off the payroll, off his payroll. Kind of like that phrase. Because they were highly paid for. They got paid very well for being a soothsayer or a magician. And one by one, because they couldn't reveal that, he took him off. So he got to save a little bit of money. But if we read of King Nebuchadnezzar and his kingdom, and that's what it's about. It's about kingdom. Kingdoms. It's about era. It's about time. And it's really interesting that God revealed to Daniel what is going to happen. And it's not something that's just going to happen in a couple of months. It's not something that's going to happen in a couple of years, but it's something that's happened in God's timetable. And it starts off with saying that King Nebuchadnezzar, you're the head. You're the head of gold. And this is where the pride of King Nebuchadnezzar came in. And he understood the dream. He was a man that had authority. He was a man that, as scripture says here, that he was, he was wherever the children of the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven, he's given into thine hand and made him ruler over all. Boy, isn't that, if he already had a big head as a king and now they're telling him that, you're this king of gold, and now you can really see how much bigger his head got. But as we see that the dream goes on and he interprets his dream, the statue that was dreamt. Now, after the head, then comes now the breastplate and the chest. And what's interesting is that as I'm reading this and I was studying the interpretations of what these were, the meanings of it, or who was now the next empire. The first empire was Nebuchadnezzar. After that was the Persians and the Medes. And you know what's interesting, and we'll read a little bit more as we get into it. Daniel, who gave the interpretation, who gave the dream, who interpreted the dream and told him what he dreamt, saw that part of the change from Nebuchadnezzar to the Persians and the Medes. And we're going to get into that, Lord willing, in the next few chapters. And then it went from the breastplate, which was silver, to the belly and the thighs, which were bronze. And the bronze were the Greeks that reigned during that time. The Medo and the Persians, and so just some of the dates, Nebuchadnezzar from Babylon reigned from 620 to 539 BC. The Medo and the Persians reigned from 539 to 331 BC. And then the Greeks reigned from 331 to 185 BC. The Greeks being Alexander the Great. And the Alexander the Grecian, his empire was the largest among all those that he was compared to. And then after that, then the Romans took over. The Romans having the longest stand of reign. Since the fall of the Roman Empire, there has never been a world dominating empire equal to Rome. Many have tried, the Huns, Islam, the Holy Roman Empire, Neapolitan, Hitler, Stalin, but none of them have succeeded. And as we see the progression from going from gold to silver to from bronze to silver to clay, we can see that it started with a precious metal that didn't really have a whole lot of strength. Gold is not very; it's a soft metal. And then when you go down to bronze, it gets a little bit harder, and silver a little bit harder. And then when it gets down to iron, iron is really strong. It's a strong metal. And the Romans ruled with an iron fist. And that's why they had the longing standard for more than 500 years. The Babylon Empire stood for 66 years. The Medo-Persians Empire stood for 208 years. The Grecian Empire stood for 185 years. And then the Roman Empire stood for more than 500 years. See, we see that now. But what's interesting is God gave that revelation to Nebuchadnezzar. And we also see that from the head, the gold, to the feet, the bronze, I mean to the clay, we go from gold being glorious to iron being strength. There was no glory in those empires in between. And then what's really interesting, if we read a little bit more, the stone that was cut out of that mountain that was thrown to the feet of this image that shattered the clay to make this image fall down, this represented Jesus the Messiah. And we can find that in Psalms 118:22, Isaiah 8:14, Isaiah 28:16, and Zechariah. They all refer to Jesus as being that stone. And how did the king react? What was the king's reaction? Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face. Brother Joe corrected me last time when I preached, and I said, I don't know that Nebuchadnezzar ever did turn to the Lord. And it was, as we read on, he did. And we're going to read about Nebuchadnezzar a little bit as we get down in the further chapter of how God took his pride and what he and crushed his pride and brought him back. He said that he fell on his face and he said that your God is the God of gods. And then after that, he promoted Daniel. And as I was reading the interpretation of this, and I'm reading the empires that have taken place from one time, one to another, where do we stand? The Roman Empire is already dissolved. Now we're down to the feet. And what's interesting is that as this proclamation was made, everything came to pass. I was listening to a gentleman that made an analogy. He says if you, not that we're betting on horse races, but if you go to the horse race and some guy comes up to you and says, I want you to bet on number one, and he wins. And then next time you come back and he comes back, he goes, no, I want you to bet on number two. And number two, he wins. And then number three, he wins again. And then what comes down to number six, he says he'd probably sell your house because this guy has been right five times in a row. And now it's the sixth time. He's going to give it all in. Because that's what Daniel said. Daniel said that the interpretation is sure and it's going to happen. We live in a time now where we don't have any empires, but it talks about the 10 toes. And the 10 toes are said to be, some people are speculating, maybe part of the UN. We're not there yet, I don't know. 10-nation confederation, I don't know. But we know that there's going to come a time when God's throne, God's kingdom is going to reign. And that we can be sure of because that's what Daniel is telling Nebuchadnezzar. So then, if that is the case, how's our attitude? Are we just, you know, we're coming towards the end now here. We're at the toes. Do we have that sense of urgency of walking a closer walk with God, of being that example he wants us to be, and then sharing with those of who Christ is and what he's done for you and me? Do we have that sense of urgency to look at our lives and look at our lives and examine ourselves, because we don't know when our time is up? You know, we had a presidential change, and there was a lot going on. There's a lot talking. They're still talking about Trump. They're still talking about Biden and with the COVID. And there's so much going on in the world right now. But what's encouraging for you and I is that God is in control. And it doesn't matter what happens. It all has to happen because he is orchestrating it. It's what he wants. It's what he's allowing. I'm going to close with reading Psalm 94. O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth, render a reward to the proud. For how long shall the wicked triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard things, and all the workers of the iniquities boast themselves? They break in pieces thy people, O Lord, and afflict thine heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger and the murderer and the fatherless. Yet they say, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. Understand, ye brutish among the people, ye fools, when will you be wise? He that planteth the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chastiseth the heathen, shall he not correct? He that teacheth man knowledge, shall he not know? The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Blessed is the man whom chasteneth, O Lord, and teacheth him out of thy law. that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversary until the pit be digged for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. But judgment shall return unto righteousness, and the upright in heart shall follow it. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers, or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Unless the Lord hath been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. When I said, my foot slipped, thy mercy, O Lord, help me. In the multitude of my thoughts, within me thy comforts delights my soul. Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, the frame which frameth mischief by a law? They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemn the innocent blood. But the Lord is my defense, and God is my rock of my refuge, and he shall bring upon them their own iniquity and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. Yea, the Lord our God shall cut them off. May God bless his word.